Today on Straight Talk Africa, the politics of the Kenyan presidential repeat elections. We discuss the implications of why the Supreme Court postponed the repeat presidential case, citing lack of quorum. So what's the way forward for the East African nation? That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali.
And hello to all of our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Heidi Adams-Fitzpatrick, your social media reporter today, filling in for Ayen Bior.
Today is a discussion about the politics of the Kenyan presidential repeat election.
And coming up later, our audience has weighed in on our topic through emails, Facebook and Twitter comments. Of course, we'll reveal some of them just ahead on Straight Talk Africa.
At this hour, Kenya's rerun presidential election is still set for Thursday. On Wednesday, the nation's Supreme Court said it could not hear the case to delay the repeat poll because it lacked the judges to make a quorum. And only the Supreme Court has the authority to delay the election. VOA's Jill Craig has more on the run-up to Thursday's controversial vote.
It has been a prolonged electoral season in Kenya, with the opposition now saying it will not participate in this month's rerun polls after the nullification of the August presidential election.
We cannot go to an election with an electoral commission where the chairman is hostage to some few commissioners. That's why today we are changing our clarion call from no reforms, no elections, so there are no elections in October.
But President Uhuru Kenyatta is urging people to come out and vote. He says Kenya cannot live in what he called a permanent state of elections.
Our economy needs to move on, and we must rid this nation of that uncertainty. And it is indeed my appeal to every Kenyan, exercise your democratic right on the 26th of October.
But Nairobi-based political analyst Michael Agwanda argues the Electoral Commission, known as the IEBC, is unable to conduct free and fair elections.
IEBC, that is supposed to be an arbiter in this 26th presidential election, is more divided and is no longer independent, as their name goes. And for that reason, we do not expect free and fair election on the 26th of October 2017.
Agwanda is not the only Kenyan expressing concerns. Last week, IEBC Commissioner Roselyn Akombe fled the country and announced her resignation, saying the election as planned would not be credible, that some election workers were vulnerable to security concerns, and that the country is not ready to proceed with the polls as scheduled. IEBC Chairman Wafula Chebukati has demanded politicians start working together or else his departure could be next. Embattled CEO Ezra Chiloba is now taking 3 weeks of leave, marking his absence from the election. Busia County opposition supporter Mofat Rotich says he would accept a Kenyatta win if the election is credible.
Because Uhuru is not a Ugandan or a Tanzanian, he's a Kenyan. If he wins, he will be our president. But the only problem we have is free and fair elections. And there is no, if you can see right now, they are talking of peace. And there cannot be peace without justice.
But each person's definition of justice is different, raising the concern the polls may not be peaceful. For now, Kenyans are just hoping for an amicable solution as they wait for the next developments in this ongoing political saga. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
Thanks, Jill, for that interesting report. For the latest political developments from Kenya, we are joined live via Skype from Nairobi by my colleague Vincent Macaulay, the managing editor of VOA's Africa 54 television news program. Good evening, Vincent.
Good evening, Shaka.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing well in this very interesting times in Nairobi.
Talk to us about the mood from your vantage point.
In fact, at this point in time, we can say the mood is tense. There's a state of confusion. The day, 26th of October, Thursday, tomorrow, looks like one of those days you wish could come so fast and just pass. But it has been dragging on. It's like time is moving in slow motion. Everything has come to a standstill. And most people are in a state of confusion, uncertainty, and fear. Nobody knows whether Thursday will be a peaceful day or will be the beginning of a total chaos, in as much as the leader of the opposition, the main opposition, NASA, which now has transformed itself into a national resistance movement, has called on his supporters not to demonstrate, but rather to stay home, stay away from the polling stations and just pray. But still, even with those assurances, there are concerns about what could possibly happen tomorrow. And many fear anything could go wrong.
When you talk about the mood being tense, are we talking about a sort of mood or air that you could imagine cutting through with a knife?
I'm telling you, it is literally something almost tangible. You can see it in the air. You can feel it. You can see in the faces of people. You listen to all conversations on the streets, in the restaurants, everywhere. Everybody is asking the same question. What will our country look like tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, even more significantly? Of course, there are those real diehard supporters of the ruling Jubilee coalition. They have no fear. They know exactly what's going to happen, that they're presidential candidate is going to win the election. But there's a big population of this country right now that is wondering whether after tomorrow they will continue feeling like they're truly members of this nation, because they are being left out and they're seriously feeling like this kind of election leaves a country more divided than what is desired, a more united country.
Now, when you talk about, again, Raila Odinga transforming NASA into a sort of resistance movement, really, are we talking about something similar to Across the Border, the national resistance movement in Uganda?
In fact, that is what it sounds like. Of course, we know that the National Resistance Movement also had, initially was National Resistance Army. Mr. Raila Odinga did not make any kind of, he did not allude to a possibility of going the military way. But definitely he, by calling his political coalition now a movement of resistance, he made it very clear that what he sees ahead of us is not a normal democratic government, but a system, a regime that needs to be resisted by all means, that needs to be brought to its knees. And he did spell out some of the things that he's planning to do in order first to force an election within the next 90 days, because as far as he's concerned, tomorrow is a charade, is a farce. Tomorrow is not going to happen, according to him. So whatever takes place tomorrow is completely irrelevant, immaterial, as far as Mr. Odinga is concerned. So in his tone, you get the sense that he feels like democracy has been suspended in this country. The Constitution is in jeopardy. Institutions are completely endangered. And that now is the time for him and those who have the same mind as him to start a movement of resisting what he sees as an emerging repressive regime.
You know, as I talk to many Kenyans, I got the sense that perhaps one of the few remaining permanent institutions that commanded respect really across the board was the judiciary system. What about the fact that the Kenyan Supreme Court, under the able leadership of Chief Justice David Maraga, was unable to hold a quorum, to mobilize a quorum? Was this an accident, a coincidence, or is it possible that, in fact, there could have been an invisible hand that, in a sense, aims at undermining that particular institution?
It is not lost on anybody's memory that soon after the Supreme Court ruled that the elections had been annulled, there was a very clear, very overt threat against the Supreme Court. We, of course, heard words like it will get fixed. Now, because of those kind of pronouncements, some are reading a lot into this lack of quorum today. The president of the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice, yesterday certified this case as a matter of urgency and called on all the justices of the Supreme Court to come to work so they can do their duty, which comes once in a while. Remember, the Supreme Court is not sitting every day to adjudicate cases. This is one of the few times in the life of the Supreme Court that the judges are called upon to perform this national duty. Now, how is it that the justices fail to turn up? And knowing the politics that surround this, many are actually wondering whether this there wasn't some invisible hand behind, whether, in fact, it is not an act of kind of sabotage. In fact, does appear almost like, considering that the president of the Supreme Court himself showed up, some would see this as insubordination from the other justices. Now, the question is this a precedent? Is this how perhaps the Supreme Court will systematically get undermined and perhaps eventually become a weaker institution through a process of sabotage among just those the same justices that are supposed to be the symbol of independence? And in fact, the hope for most of Kenyans who look up to this new constitution.
Final question. What about the fact that the High Court earlier today ruled that the 291 returning officers were apparently appointed illegally? Does that mean that tomorrow's election is an election, or does that in fact become perhaps a selection?
If we take the words of the chairman of the IBC, Mr. Wafula Chebukati, he says that that was the ruling of the High Court, it's still, those officials are still able to conduct their business, and they should be considered legal, because he says the reason why the High Court said that is because some of the names had not been submitted to the relevant parties in advance. And therefore, although the appointment is not illegal in some respects, the Supreme Court, the High Court, ruled that way, but allowed them to continue with their work. That is what the chairman says. So as far as we are concerned, there could be questions after the election. There could be someone going back to court and saying the returning officers were not duly and legally appointed, and therefore the results they submit could be considered null and void. So you can expect some court cases after Thursday, October 26th.
Well, in that case, my friend, I have to say, frankly, that thank you so much for your insight, and take care of yourself.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You're most welcome. Now, joining us here in the studio is our distinguished guest, David K. Gacheru, Kenya Embassy Deputy Chief of Mission to the United States, and David Onserio Monda, Professor of Political Science at the City University of New York. He joins us from the VOA Bureau in New York. Well, gentlemen, how are you?
Thank you very much.
I have to say, frankly, that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the two of you gallant Kenyans on Straight Talk Africa today.
Thank you, my brother.
You're most welcome.
Okay. Thank you for having us.
You're most welcome, David. Later in the program, we'll give you, our audience, a chance to call in with your question or comment. The number to call is 202-619-3111. This country code is 1. Let me come to you, David, here in the studio in Washington. It's been quite some time since we last ran into each other, as a matter of fact.
Yes, it's quite some time.
How are you?
I'm fine, my brother. How are you?
I am terrific. What are you getting from home formally? You have an election tomorrow.
Yes.
And you believe that is going to be an election, or, like some are saying, probably a selection, really, because it looks like it's going to be Uhuru Kenyatta, perhaps, versus Uhuru Kenyatta?
Thank you for your question. Mm-hmm. The most important thing we want to understand here is that there was an election that happens on August 8th. They were nullified on September 1st. And the reason the Supreme Court said we have to have election within 60 days. Mm. And it ruled that the votes, the reason why the elections was nullified was because of the transmission. Mm. And it found nobody culpable in IEBC. So the elections
were nobody culpable. But there were three names, I think, that were named adversely,
yeah,
including one, in fact, of the CEO of the Secretariat, Ezra Chiroba himself.
Yeah, there's a lot of information, my brother, that comes around, and sometimes you find that the delegitimization of IEBC started for a long time and keep repeating all the time constantly. And if it's repeated so long time, it becomes the truth. It is also good to see the story from the other end.
What about the memo from the chairman of IEBC, Wafula Chebukati himself?
Yeah.
He raised 12 points in that memo. I'm sure you saw it.
Yes, with the memo, yeah.
And he basically addressed it to Mr. Chiroba.
Yeah.
And we never saw the response from Mr. Chiroba, at least publicly.
But the response between the IEBC Commission is constituted. And I want to repeat this. The Supreme Court said in the ruling on the September 21st, 21 days after, the IEBC Constitution must do election within 60 days.
Correct.
As constituted.
Correct.
They must do election within 60 days. And this is what is happening October 26th. Initially, supposed to be October 21st. It's going to move to October 26th.
But these were simply not elections within 60 days.
Yeah.
These were elections that were meant to meet certain constitutional standards.
According to who, my brother?
We are talking about the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, in fact, demanded that this election has to be free, fair, transparent, credible, and verifiable. And that if it does not...
And if the forms, they'll do it again.
And if it does not, the Chief Justice will...
Nullify again.
Precisely.
So he did not say, I don't want those IEBC people, they are not to come to elections.
But what about the fact that the chairman himself, really, who, by the way, right now is in fact characterized as, quote unquote, a passenger?
How do you know that
perhaps,
my brother?
In fact, he is not
in
charge anymore
of
IEBC that has since become probably a Jubilee Electoral Boundaries Commission?
No.
This is a man last week who addressed a press conference, the global press conference, talking about how, yes, the IEBC could in fact hold an election on October 26th, but he could not guarantee that election would adhere to what the Supreme Court wanted.
Who was interfering with him? Who did he say was interfering?
Whom did he say? Whom did he say?
Both sides.
Well, we also have, of course, statement from Dr. Rosalind Akombe in New Jersey. And I spoke with her, as a matter of fact, last week on Monday.
Yeah.
And what she told me is mind-boggling. In fact, I said, wait a minute, if in fact what you are telling me is true, then how come the chairman of the IEBC has not resigned or run away like you or other commissioners? You know what she told me? She said some of them would very, very much like to run or resign yesterday. But unfortunately, unlike her, they do not have a second country to go to.
I'll leave that to her. I don't know what transpired that. And my brother, I always want you to, the way you are talking right now, you seem to be very biased on one side.
Really? Biased in favor of the facts?
Facts are the information you receive.
From where?
You receive from the news media.
My brother.
You receive from other
media.
I'm
in a position where I cross-check every information that I get. And I can assure you that what I am saying, yes, as you say, you may be right, it is biased, but biased in favor of the truth.
The truth, okay. Your issue is the absolute minimum that were requested by the... By the opposition, the absolute minimum that were requested. The European Union came back and actually justified and say that those minimum have already been met.
In fact, they said some of them have been met. Some of them have been met, and others have not been met at all.
Okay.
Let me go to David in New York. David, are you following the conversation here?
Very keenly, sir. Thank you.
Why don't you weigh in? What is your reaction to what we just talked about so far?
Well, I think, unfortunately, our diplomatic representative our diplomatic representative in Washington, D.C. seems to see a different kind of Kenya, because the reality of the Kenya on the ground right now is the IEBC is in contravention of Supreme Court orders to have its server checked over, to have its transmissions checked over. That has not been dealt with at this point. We have a commissioner who's fled the country with fear of her life. Just yesterday, the driver of the Deputy Chief Justice was brutally attacked and seriously wounded. And the Deputy Chief Justice was not able to actually attend the court hearing today. In addition to this, close to 70 people have been killed. Demonstrators have been killed by the police. There's really no substantive investigation in relation to that. And lastly, given the fact that we're going to have an election tomorrow, elections have been in Kenya since independence, but will this election be credible, free and fair? My answer to that is no, on the simple grounds that the issues I've raised have not been addressed, the issues with the server, the issue of police violence, the issue of intimidation of the judiciary, and more importantly, the environment in which the country finds itself, where the commission is divided amongst itself. The head of the commission is talking one thing, the secretariat is talking another, his deputy is contradicting him. It's just not a good space within which to hold an election, and especially within the country, when there's this air of uncertainty, fear, and intimidation of the opposition. It's just not a good space within which to say you could really have a credible, free, and fair election.
Now, Professor Monda, let me ask you this question, which I asked earlier to Vincent Macaulay. The question regarding the inability of the Supreme Court to meet earlier today, do you think it was an accident or a coincidence? Or is it possible, frankly, that there is some sort of invisible hand that made sure that it could help to undermine the authority and independence of perhaps the only institution, in fact, remaining in Kenya that is very, very much respected?
I think there obviously has to be a strong case for intimidation of the judiciary. Let's not forget that immediately after the Supreme Court ruling, the president specifically threatened the judiciary. He called them wakora, which in Swahili means those crooked ones, just because they made a decision that the government didn't like. Secondly, we have this wider issue of some justices flying in into the country for such an important hearing, dropping excuses and saying that they couldn't catch flights to rule on such an important hearing, which was filed as urgent. Thirdly, the Deputy Chief Justice, her driver had been attacked. You could imagine the emotional distress that she's undergoing. So within this wider framework, there has to be a silent hand of a deep state, of the government working underhand to intimidate judicial officers and ensure that this election is conducted on the 26th, so that we have a fait accompli on the 27th and the government's in a stronger position to negotiate its position, which ultimately flies in the face of fair play for the opposition and for the government in terms of having equal playing field in the run-up to an election. It's an extremely difficult situation for the country. And ultimately, Shaka, it goes against international norms in terms of the expectations for a free, fair, and credible election.
You know, I was talking to some journalists downtown Nairobi and talking about the driver / bodyguard of the Deputy Chief Justice, who was apparently shot in Hurlingham.
Yes.
I guess it was Hurlingham. I was told that the spectators around there were shouting in the Kiswahili language, Maliza Yeye. Have you heard something like that?
I've actually heard many media reports Describing that scene from a lot of people who viewed the scene. Maliza Yeye, essentially, the attackers were saying that in English means finish him. So it's also unclear whether these attackers were actually targeting the Deputy Chief Justice and whether it's she was just lucky not to have been in that vehicle at that time. Going back to your original question, Chaka, under these circumstances, I think the best situation would have been for the Electoral Commission, the chairperson, to seek guidance from the Supreme Court in terms of pushing the election date forward and have the politicians sort out this problem. Because ultimately, this seems to be a political fight between the Jubilee Coalition and NASA. And it seems to be a major, major problem in terms of seeking a lasting solution to this issue.
Talking about that, what about also, I learned that, for example, when those people, the three people who filed the case to the Supreme Court, when in fact the IEBC was served, the IEBC did not respond. Is that normal?
That is very abnormal, and it then speaks to the wider question of, is the chairperson of the IEBC sending a coded message saying that the case of the Muslim Human Rights Commission, which filed this petition in court, is actually valid? There's probably, in a legal sense, an interpretation that this could be his tacit agreement with the petition's position. Let's also not forget that the chairman himself has said he cannot guarantee a free and fair election in Kenya on the 26th. So it really confuses us into what exactly is going to be going on the 26th, given that the High Court itself has also nullified or declared the electoral officers in 291 constituencies to have been inappropriately and illegally constituted. Exactly who is going to be running tomorrow's election? And should we have the election tomorrow, then ultimately it seems that in any court of law, these elections will be nullified because the presiding officers have already been declared to be illegally instituted in office.
Mr. Gacheru, does that sound like an election?
My brother, and I'm really disappointed in the questioning. You're probing of questions to my colleague, my brother David, on the other side. Mm. It's very partisan, my friend.
Why is it
partisan? It goes to the same narrative that has been going on delegitimizing IEBC for a long time. And it creates chaos when necessary. The Kenyans have been very, very, very stable for the last 3 weeks. They have gone very difficult times. There were so many drums of violence that was beating before by NGOs here that we're going to have violence. We never had any violence, my brother. The resilience of the Kenyan people, the drums of violence that were being preached before, it never happened for the last 3 months.
Let's face it, my brother Gacheru. So you know as well as I do that the driver / bodyguard of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
But we don't know.
Short
but
in Hallingham. We don't know. There are reports that they are thugs, but could as well be something else.
But at this time, at this point, we don't have credit for information on
what
happened.
We also know, for example, that 9 days...
when you start perpetuating information like that, you are creating the same narrative that is negative, my brother.
But let's face it.
Because when you start saying that he was Maliza, and who knows?
No, I'm not saying...
And maybe that was mentioned in a WhatsApp message.
I'm saying what I have been told and what I have read, and what have you...
All this tension.
But let's face it, 9 days to August 8th, the election that brought us all these problems where we are now, there is a gentleman by the name Chris Musando. He was the manager of the IT at the IEBC. He was killed. And there were pictures suggesting that it was probably a love triangle. Later we learn, in fact, that his hand was actually cut off, and that in fact his fingers were used to access a certain password in order to do a bit accounting.
That is information you cannot verify.
Now, wait a minute.
The information of cutting the finger.
To be honest with you, I am in the business. I am paid for looking for business. so, of information. And when I get my information, my brother, I crisscross check it.
My brother, all I assure you is that the information, the investigation is still going on. And I, to be honest with you, I don't have any information more than what you don't know.
I see. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment, including our social media segment. So please, don't go away.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders. They are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them. Today, not tomorrow. So let's connect. Let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies.
Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known.
It's Upfront every Wednesday, 1730 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on The Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidiyuwat, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. It's time to bring in our social media reporter, Heidi Adams Fitzpatrick. Take it away, Heidi.
Thank you very much, Shaka. We've received excellent social media feedback this week as Kenya prepares for a repeat presidential vote on Thursday, October 26th. President Uhuru Kenyatta has urged Kenyans to uphold peace before, during and after Election Day. And this leads us to our question of the week. And so we asked, what is your opinion on Kenya's election process and the repeat presidential election? Now, let's start with a tweet from Vincent Maloba, who says, it's meaningless. An opposition boycott has given the ruling party no challenge. The same election body can't be trusted to conduct free and fair polls. We have another tweet from Upando Godfrey, who says, there will be no significant change in electoral order other than rejection and confusion. I hope it doesn't result in a 2007 repeat. Now, to our social media comment of the week from Facebook fan Mohammed Ahmed Mansour, who writes, I would like to urge the opposition in Kenya to recognize their deficiencies and maintain calm for a peaceful runoff poll. Kenyan elections are always characterized by violence and electoral malpractice. Something must be done to bring it to an end. Kenyans should know that the ballot is their power to exercise their political franchise. Well, let's go now to another comment from a Facebook fan, Omoding Timothy, who writes, Africans should open up and always accept defeat. Resources are being wasted. Uhuru Kenyatta and Yoweri Museveni should emulate leaders like Nelson Mandela, or their fate will be more like that of Gaddafi. And our last Facebook comment comes from McLean Mwasanjobe, who writes, in my opinion, Kenyans should follow the rule of law. The Supreme Court has given them directives on how the election is supposed to be conducted. I wish you the very best in your upcoming election. Now, a reminder that we always appreciate all of the audience feedback. If you are a new fan, drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. To comment on our Facebook page, just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. And be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. To join our YouTube channel, sign up to VOA TV to Africa. And don't be shy to follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Straight Talk Africa streams live every Wednesday on Facebook, or simply go to VOA's Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website. And to watch us live on your mobile device, download the VOA mobile app. Now, let's look at what is ahead for next week's program.
On the next Straight Talk Africa,
all eyes remain on Kenya. We'll review the nation's confusing and tense presidential election. Will the poll take place without opposition leader Raila Odinga, or will the vote be postponed yet again? A discussion on Kenya's tenuous repeat election on the next Straight Talk Africa. And that is, of course, where we'll leave today's social media segment. Shaka, you and the guests, of course, have a lot of social media comments to work through, so I'm going to turn it over back to you.
Thank you very much, Haide, for sharing with us some social media reaction from Africa and the African diaspora. Today, we are talking about the politics of the Kenyan presidential repeat election. Our distinguished guests are David K. Gacheru, Kenya Embassy Deputy Chief of Mission to the United States, and David Onserio Monda, Professor of Political Science at the City University of New York. He joins us from New York, indeed. Well, gentlemen, again, I have to say frankly that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly
humbled.
Thank
you, my brother. Thank you.
To have the opportunity to host the two of you, two
David.
Gallant Kenyans on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
You're most welcome. Your reaction. You just had, of course, a social media reaction. Your reaction to that. What you just had.
It's very balanced. Mm. I can say that.
So at least you give us some credit for it's very balanced
fact. And it's a wish that everything is done within constitutional means, within the constitutional law.
Mm.
The government was able to, beginning of this year, to go out of the constitutional framework to create this IBC we are talking about. This IBC was created.
Mm-hmm.
This year.
Mm-hmm.
There was the group that was there before the opposition
came. Yeah, but of course there was this secretariat.
Yeah, okay. So the IBC was renewed. And that fight for the IBC has been going on for a long time. But all in all, my brother, I want to assure you that Kenyans are peaceful people. They are genuinely resilient. And they can surprise us. And they have surprised us so far for the last 2 months. We haven't had any violence that was being predicted. We are going through this phase tomorrow.
There are more than 50 people so far that have been killed by the police.
All the killings that has happened is on violent demonstrations.
What happened, at least according to your 2010 constitution, you are actually supposed to have a police service, not a police force, correct? But it seems to me, frankly, that the reports you read and the behavior of the police so far looks more like a police force rather than the police serving people.
Brother Ashoka, this Kenya is an upcoming first world country. And you also have to understand the police force that we have on the ground. Mm. They are going through a very difficult job to do every day. It's a very job of balancing act on what they are doing on the ground. Sometimes it's also good to give credit on them because majority of them don't come out killing somebody. It's only a few error mistakes that happen on the ground there.
These look like targeted killings, really.
I think
Largely in opposition strongholds.
That's honestly pushing it.
Let me ask Professor Monda. Yeah. He's a man who apparently was born, I think, I don't know whether he was born in... were you born in Nairobi or was it...
Yes, I was born in Nairobi, and I'm very familiar with that police violence. I lived through it, so I am a good recipient of the tear gas and the caning. I'm very well aware of that treatment.
Very interesting. So what do you think about Mr. Gacheru's reaction? I mean, he's defending, obviously, the police service, at least according to the 2010 Constitution, which increasingly looks like a police force, really.
Yes, I mean, I understand, Ambassador Gacheru's position because, you know, he's a diplomat, he's a representative of the government. He essentially has to be a mouthpiece for what's coming from Nairobi. I understand it's his job to defend the status quo. But going back to the reality on the ground, Chris Musando is a name we're very familiar with. I'd like the ambassador to tell us how far those investigations are, or will that investigation end up the same like the investigations to J.M. Kariuki and Robert Ouko and all the other mysterious political killings we've had in Kenya? Secondly, I'd like him to address the issue of the server, the IEBC server. Why hasn't that server been inspected as per the Supreme Court order? What is the IEBC hiding? These are a lot of the questions that Kenyans are asking, And these are questions that need to be answered before we go back to the same system that corrupted and bungled the August 8th election.
Same system.
Same system. The server they were able, they have access. They was given access to the server.
No, not that we know of it, my friend.
No. They were given access to the server, and the information that they wanted was audit trail of the transaction that went on in the servers. But they were given access to the server. I don't know where the status is right now, but I know one of the minimums that they were asked is to have the servers open. And the IBC has said they will allow that to be open.
They said they would allow, yeah. At least according to Dr. Rosaline Akombe.
Yeah.
She told me, and she has told the entire world, if you have listened to her very carefully.
I haven't listened to her.
That yes, the IEBC accepted the fact that that was a demand from the Supreme Court, and in fact requested the Secretariat, which of course deals with technical problems, to access the people, the server. It never happened, and it has never happened up to now, because apparently she says there are two centers of power at the IEBC. The commissioners on the one hand, who were appointed really pretty much at the beginning of this year, and the secretariat, which has been in place for a long time, of course, as you know. And that, yes, the commissioners, in fact, sometimes can request or order, in fact, secretariat to do something. They just ignore. Those are her words, not mine.
That I'm not private with that information, but my information, as I know, is that the information that the Supreme Court wanted was administrative right of read right for audit trail of the server, and that was provided.
Apparently,
right now is one of the conditions that they have put the nine minimums. One of them is having an open server, and that
in
is
fact, the 11 minimums.
11 minimums, yes.
It never happened.
It will have an open servers, yeah.
It never happened, in fact, and we are going to an election tomorrow. What about the other people, others also, who say, wait a minute, when you talk about the IEBC, this was a body that bungled the October 8th election, to the extent, in fact, that the Supreme Court said we should even think like the event that occurred on August 8th, in fact, never happened. That's why they are having a fresh election, so to speak.
This is the
question I'm coming with. You know, there is a professor, Albert Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I checked, he won a Nobel Prize in physics.
Mm-hmm.
In the mid-early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
This man talks about if you do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. That is somewhat insanity. You know that.
How would
you expect Kenyans really to believe that the IEBC, same people, same institution that did what they did on August 8th, can actually deliver?
Can I answer your question, my brother? You see, even your way of probing your questions, even if you're probing your question, like I see which line you want to prove. But I want to tell you this. IBC, we had over almost 20,000 observers in the country. Okay? In each station, which observers? International observers.
You know what the international observers' verdict was?
No. Can I finish my question?
Let me finish my question. Yes.
The issue that was the problem that we had with all the observers who were there, and IGOC, there was an NGO, a government NGO in Kenya that did a parallel tallying, which came up the same vote as IBC. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You see the same IBC forms. So the issue that happened on the forms is 34A and 34B.
Mm.
There were technical issues. By issue, the wrong forms.
Lacking serials.
Lacking serials. Lacking signatures.
Sent in from Paris, some restaurants in Paris. Is Paris part of Kenya? Is it a Kenyan constituency?
Balazan Ashaka now. No, go to Paris now. That's a little fair fetch.
My brother.
Can I finish? Just allow me to finish so that I can have my point. The point I want to prove to you is that you're putting so much exacting standards on a system, and you know very well the vote on August 8th, the president won.
No, I don't know about that. If he won, it would have been sustained by the Kenyan Supreme Court, just like it had actually sustained his victory back in 2013.
No. I may not even get to you because I think you've already, your mind is made up.
Actually, I'm not the person that you even need to worry about. You need to worry about the audience that is watching you right now.
The people of Kenya are tired. The people of Kenya, the inertia, the political, we cannot be in political theater throughout. People want to move on. People want to vote. The people's vote on October 8th, my brother, and you saw that day on August 8th. It was a beautiful day.
Yes.
People woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
The optics were great.
See now where you're coming? So when it comes to our side, it's optics.
No, it's not just about your side. I'm talking about the entire Kenya election day.
There was a beautiful, the August 8th was a beautiful day. People went and voted.
But
Kenyans
it turns
voted.
Out?
It's the only transmission process that was failed.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. It was more than that because, let's face it, the law of Kenya, I'm not a lawyer, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I checked, it requires that the final results should reflect the results announced at individual constituencies.
Yes.
But my friend, maybe that explains why the server has never been accessed. Because in fact, the server probably holds the key.
What does the server contain?
Holds the key.
What does the server contain?
The results, you know what the server holds? Friend, why do you think it is not being accessed?
It is not accessed.
I mean, if it is that very simple, surely it would have been accessed yesterday.
There was a configuration. Also, you are assuming that company, the French Motu company, doesn't have a reputation.
In fact,
they have a reputation.
If I were the Supreme Court or I were NASA, probably I would in fact sue the IEBC for contempt of court.
You should.
What about you, Professor Monda?
Yes. I would definitely charge the IEBC with contempt of court. But the other thing, Ambassador Gacheru doesn't address is he keeps talking about peace. We've had peace in Kenya for over 60 years, but we've also had human rights abuses. We've honestly probably had just one free election. That was the 2002 election that removed the KANU regime from power. And why was this a problem? This was a problem because of consistent interference with electoral commissions from independents. This is essentially why the rule of law has to be upheld. Basic democratic ideals for any election cater to this simple fact. You have to have a rule of law, openness, transparency, and accountability. The IEBC has not demonstrated any fidelity to any of these ideals. And this is essentially the problem. It's becoming a big political problem because those in power do not want to follow the rule of law. They do not want to stick by mandates from the court. They want to continue with business as usual, like it was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And Kenyans have said, this is enough. We want to have a system change. And it's about time that we have free elections. Whoever wins, that's fine, but we have to have a free, open, and fair system.
Very interesting.
My point is, the Supreme Court came on September 1st using the same IEBC to do the election within 60 days. That is within the constitutional framework.
That is true.
So other people, like anybody else, can come and start questioning the integrity of IEBC. That has been going on. This is where we are right now.
As
elections happening tomorrow, it's all within the constitutional law.
As a matter of fact,
and everybody is accountable.
The chairman himself tells us, frankly, that he doesn't have confidence in the body that he
only if they stop interference with him.
Yeah,
but
he talked about the commissioners in.
But
he
gave the conference today with the team, and he said that we are ready for the elections tomorrow.
Those might, in fact, be optics.
So you see, Well, it's optic when it comes to you. It's optic when it's not on your side.
Let me tell you something.
It's not fair, my brother.
Let me tell you something.
You can be so biased like that.
My brother, let me tell you something that I told you during the break.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago when I was in university,
yeah.
I was studying international relations. I remember this great professor, my friend at UCLA, who told us diplomacy. Some of us who were very young wanted to be diplomats because it looked like a great, you know, career, really. And I'm sure it is a great career. And he said, but you know what? They actually teach you and train you to be very loyal and patriotic, to lie on behalf of the government that you serve.
This is not about me here. It's about the elections tomorrow. So let's take on our point.
No, in other words, frankly,
I'm being here for the last 6 years, mm-hmm. 6 weeks, pre-elections and post-elections. I know the narratives that has been there, delegitimizing IEBC. Repeatedly, as you talked about Albert Einstein, if you keep repeating the same thing, same time, it becomes the truth, even if it's a lie.
Really?
Yeah. So IEBC...
Even somebody who says, for example, that in 2007-8, he was cheated of an election, and then he says, 2013, he was cheated of an election, and then now someone says they cheated an election. I mean, sometimes, yes, the situation is a special of propaganda.
Yeah.
I can understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. But there are situations which are facts. There is a saying, my brother, that the greatest friend of the truth is time.
Exactly.
Her greatest enemy is ignorance or prejudice. And her constant companion is humility.
What you stand with that, what you have and the question you're asking, the probing you're asking, okay?
The probing.
But the probing you're
That's
doing.
That's my job.
Yeah, it's very... It's obviously very biased because we...
Biased, in favor of the truth.
We're here, the Supreme Court nullified elections on September 1st. IEBC has constituted and found nobody culpable, no mistake on anybody, to go ahead and conduct within 60 days.
Three names were adversely mentioned in that particular ruling. By the Supreme Court. And in fact, Chiroba is one of the three names.
But, even
Chebukati himself said those names which were adversely affected.
Am I right? Nobody was found culpable.
Well, you are right, but you know what?
Is that right?
That is up to DPP. The DPP should have picked up the ball and made investigations.
Now, in that case, does it matter to you?
No, of course it matters.
To me. So why
I have not convicted them.
If the same Supreme Court that you are congratulating nullify the elections, okay? Why not accepting what they say the election to be done within 60 days? Why?
My brother,
why are you choosing?
I don't have a problem.
What information you want to take?
I don't have a problem in holding the election according to the Supreme Court
ruling.
Constitutional demand. The other problem I have is why, in fact, didn't that Supreme Court succeed in having a quorum today in Nairobi? Why? Can you answer it?
That one I don't know. I was here with you. They are grown up. They can tell us.
Njoki Ndungu, a friend of mine, happened to be somewhere in Kenya. Apparently, she couldn't find a flight to go to Nairobi.
I can't talk for that.
Very interesting. Yeah. Let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good evening, Chris from Uganda. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Shaka. Good evening.
You're most welcome.
Let me go to... Let me go to the different Ndugu Gacheru. Ndugu Gacheru, what will happen to the transmission of results from 291 returning officers that have been characterized as illegal by the High Court? Why did the IEBC refuse access to their servers as ordered by the Supreme Court? Shall we tomorrow see?
Thank you,
Shaka. I still don't wait for tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Ndugu Gacheru.
Yeah.
You can respond.
Your colleague from Washington actually say that the Supreme Court said they can still continue legally to work with IBC. As they are.
Not the Supreme Court, the High Court, actually.
The High Court, yeah, mm-hmm. The High Court, they can continue to do that. And also there was some gazetting today that was done today.
It was not degazetted, I understand.
It was done today, right?
But
now.
Obviously, open is a window.
Yeah.
A window of opportunity for someone to come up with a petition to the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court, yeah. You're right about that. The other issue, what was the other question you asked, was about?
About the server.
The server. The server was opened.
No, I told you.
The server,
mm-hmm. The IEBC commissioners gave instructions or orders to the secretariat to open the server. It never happened. Even as we talk, it has never been opened.
My understanding is that the document that they wanted, that were provided to them by, for the Supreme Court.
Not
that,
really.
Yeah.
Let's go to David in New York. David in New York.
Yes.
What about the server?
So, I think that's a major issue. Bwana Gasheru, Mr. Gasheru, does not want to address because, quite frankly, the IEBC is in contempt of court. Shaka, let's not forget that this is an IEBC, an electoral commission, that's divided against itself. We have a secretariat, which is a remnant of the former commission chairman, Hassan, which bungled elections before that. And a lot of these people, the secretariat is in at war with the chairman and with the commissioners. And they're squabbling between them. They can't even meet election observers together, the chairperson and the commissioners. They're meeting separately. They're not talking to each other. Ultimately, whenever decisions have to be made in the commission, a vote has to be done. And very illegal things are being done because the commissioners are not acting in the law. They are acting based on directions from outside powers, from the government. So within this wider framework, it's just impossible to conceive of any environment in which a free and fair election will be plausible. And I think the ambassador should concede on that point, that the groundwork is not level, the commission is not ready, and the best solution under this kind of circumstances of police brutality, of killings, of people, murders that are unsolved, is essentially to go back to the drawing board, push the election date back, and have these politicians sort out this problem, even if it means that we have international mediation. Ultimately, we also need that server opened because I'm really curious to know what the IEBC is hiding.
Well, Professor Bond, of course, the server seems obviously to be the elephant in the room. But you also mentioned about things that have been done wrong by the IEBC. Which are some of those specific things that you allege?
We've talked about now ad nauseum about the server. Secondly, the ambassador alluded to the issue of transmission of results. A lot of the Form 34Bs, a lot of Form 34As had been adulterated. A lot of them had fake signatures. They didn't have proper seals. So when these items went to the Supreme Court, there was no way that that election could stand. And I can assure you that should we have an election on the 26th, this election will be annulled in any free court anywhere in the world because the groundwork for the election is shambolic. There's no environment to have a free and credible election. And a lot of those commissioners have been compromised. They're not acting to uphold the Constitution. They're acting at the behest of politicians who are pulling the strings behind the commissioners' backs.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, time is not a best. Well, I do have 10 seconds. The last one, 10 seconds, please.
I just want to...
10, please.
10 seconds. This issue of knowing so much of what's going in IBC, like people are already inside there, giving up information is wrong.
Unfortunately, on that note, thanks to our two distinguished guests, David K. Gacheru and David Onserio Monda. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Kenya. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.